This is our number.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. So, guess what? You know, our fine congresswoman from Seattle, Pramila Jayapal, she was tweeting last night. She said, "Climate action cannot wait any longer." So why is she focusing on climate change, Pramila Jayapal? Well, maybe she had to distract people from the video that her House colleague Rashida Tlaib posted. You see, I guess it was Pramila Jayapal's birthday. And so a maskless Pramila Jayapal and all of her maskless birthday party attenders, they had a beautiful celebration.
Hey, Pramila, happy birthday. What a
birthday. Oh, and then they brought out a big chocolate birthday cake, and Pramila Jayapal blew out all the candles. Haven't we figured out by now that if you blow out candles on a cake, you're likely spitting all over it? And I thought that Nancy Pelosi said that you're going to be fined or jailed if you go into the House without wearing a mask. No, this is not in the House chambers, but in official building. So why can Pramila Jayapal go maskless and all her friends at her birthday? Why can she spit on her birthday cake?
Cut me a small piece. Cut me the thinnest piece possible.
Jayapal has said those who do not wear masks are behaving cruelly. And she has called for fines to be issued to unmasked members of Congress. But she and all her friends are unmasked for her birthday celebration before she spit all over her chocolate cake. Jayapal a few days ago tweeted, "Wear your mask, get your shot, protect your community, save lives, spit on someone's cake." Jayapal added, "When this pandemic started, we watched older Americans die as Trump and COVID deniers fought mask mandates and social distancing. Now we watch younger Americans die as GOP governors and deniers fight." I'm sorry. "Fight vaccinations and mask mandates. Enough. Wear masks. Get vaccinated. Save lives." So, but that's only for you. You see, because we're not sophisticated. At Barack Obama's birthday on the vineyard, not just any vineyard, but Martha's Vineyard, everybody was unmasked. But as CNN told us, they were all sophisticated. Do you have that soundbite, Nicole, of the media saying it was okay that all of Obama's birthday guests were unmasked?
Sure, I can get that for you.
Okay, I appreciate that. Then I'll chat with you some more. But yeah, they were sophisticated, you see. And it's why the mayor of San Francisco has an indoor mask ban at restaurants and clubs, why she went clubbing this weekend and dancing without a mask because, as she put it, she was just feeling the rhythms.
A video shows a maskless breed neither seated at a table nor positioned at a stationary counter, standing and dancing without any food or drinks in her hand. She also posed for photos while not wearing a mask.
Okay, so just to be clear, I was sitting at my table, and when, I don't know about Chew and whether or not...
Chew? Was Jimmy Chew the shoe designer there? Because I don't know about Chew either.
You know who Raphael Saadiq and Dwayne Wiggins are?
Oh, if you're at an event with Raphael Saadiq and Dwayne Simmons, then it's okay for the mayor of San Francisco to be unmasked. It'd still not be okay for you.
But I don't know about you, but...
You was also there. Chu and you.
If you know who they are, I don't care where you're sitting. You're going to get up and start dancing.
Yeah! Masks for thee, just not for me. Pramila Jayapal, all the time, telling us how we have to wear masks. The New York Times reported that if you're sophisticated enough, you don't need masks, like a FOO friend of Obama.
They're following all the safety precautions. People are going to sporting events that are bigger than this. This is going to be safe. This is a sophisticated, vaccinated crowd. And this is just about optics. It's not about safety.
They were sophisticated. All of Barack's friends are very sophisticated. We're not. We're the unwashed masses. So anyway, I just want to thank Pramila Jayapal for telling us about the importance of wearing masks, saying that people should be fined if they don't wear masks, right before she spit all over people's pieces of cake.
Hey, Pramila, happy birthday.
Isn't it just lovely to hear the absolute hypocrisy? And I don't know if they go into politics that way or if politics just attracts people who are such stinking hypocrites. But all we know is they are. Okay, next up. So, Nicole, you going to go to any Kraken games? You going to get, because that's going to be quite the, it's going to be quite the fever this year.
I hope so, yes. I'm excited.
I just, you know, people are going to go overboard in their fandom. They're going to try to prove, because it's new and they want to be on the leading edge, and they're just going to be a little too enthusiastic
about their fandom
to show how cool
they're just
going to
have too much fun. It's not allowed. Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't. I actually like the franchise a lot. I like the ownership a lot. I think they're really good people.
I think it's exciting because I think that right now, you know, I wanted to get into the Mariners in the beginning, and it just kind of fizzled out, and I don't know what it was. And then Seahawks right now, I'm having a hard time with, and so I'm excited to get excited for the Kraken.
Okay, well, figure out how you're going to get to the arena, because the city's council says that they're going to jack up street parking rates around the Seattle Center Coliseum. You're going to have to pay $3 an hour for the first 2 hours, and then $8 an hour for the second 2 hours. So for an average 4 hour stay to go to the game, and usually they used to end the meters at 6 p.m. But now it's going to be $22 to park on the street there. They believe that the parking garages around there are going to be anywhere from $30 to $50 to park in them. And so, but in the Seattle Times story about this, they said that SDOT, Seattle Department of Transportation, that they're going to, as part of the plan, build, they're going to build protected bicycle lanes on First Avenue and Broad Streets to encourage more bicycling to games and other events. Now, tell me this. Right around the Seattle Center Coliseum are hills. Hills everywhere. Maybe if you go straight south, you won't have too big a hill. But you either go down a huge hill towards Elliott and Inner Bay, go down a big hill if you go east toward the freeway, you go up a huge hill if you go west over Queen Anne. And they're going to build bicycle lanes so people can go to hockey games and concerts. Who's going to get out? Okay, first of all, what are the odds? And I mean this sincerely. No matter what kind of lock you buy, if you parked your bike at the Coliseum and locked it up with whatever fine lock, padlock, whatever you have, what are the odds that your bicycle will be there at the end of the event? I make it 99 to 1 against. I think you have a 1% chance of your bicycle not being stolen if you ride a bike to the Seattle Center these days. But and then secondly, oh yeah, winter nights, it's going to be freezing cold out, rainy, maybe even snowy, could even be icy. And people are going to ride their bicycles to hockey games. So that's Seattle's solution. Is there anybody in government who just says, no, come on, you guys, that's a stupid idea. Nobody's going to ride their bike to Climate Pledge Arena in January. Don't destroy First Avenue and Broad so people can ride their bikes to go see the Eagles in November. But
yeah,
that's
it's real safe to ride your bike home at, you know, 11 or 12.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Everybody's been drinking. You know, it's sad but true that a high proportion of people after all sporting events, baseball, football, basketball, hockey, a high percentage of people have been drinking as
well,
they
the only
leave
way you can
the
take
event.
Our mask off, too.
Yeah.
You just have to have it. They encourage it.
Yes.
As long as there's a drink in your hand.
Right. Yeah, yeah, the booze is your incentive because you can stay unmasked for those precious few minutes. So it's and here's the thing. And as I've said, I never want to go into government because it'd be just horribly boring to sit into meetings. And it would be so tedious to sit into meetings with morons because they don't do anything right. They do everything wrong. But I think that's why they do everything wrong. Because all the good people, all the people with a business sense, all the people with common sense, they're the ones who say, I don't want anything to do with government. I'm not going to put myself through that. But with something like this, somebody should just say, no, excuse me, guys. That's a stupid idea, and we're not doing it. We're not going to try to get a bunch of people on bicycles to hockey games. So, yeah, it's just, we have no common sense whatsoever. None whatsoever. That'd be a fun job, though. But they'd have to give me complete czar-like power. Now, we're not going to spend $300,000 per unit to bail out developers who suddenly can't sell their apartments. No, we're not going to build bicycle lanes in it for a January winter sport. Let's just stop all the nonsense. Let's start spending money efficiently and accomplishing things. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15, how about this? Former Seattle Police Chief Carmen Best is being talked about as the next NYPD commissioner. The Daily News has a story, and the headline is New York City gun violence, cops sagging morale, frayed community relations. NYPD's next commissioner will have her hands full. And then you might wonder, why do they say her hands full? How do they know it's going to be a woman? Well, because the guy who's the heavy favorite to win the mayor's race is a far-left guy, and he has already said that he's going to hire a woman to be the next NYPD commissioner if he becomes mayor, which is, again, just a phenomenally stupid thing to say. I think Carmen Best was a fine mayor, and I think she'd be a fine candidate. But when you say up front that you're only going to consider women, then you have eliminated half of the potential applicant pool. And what if there's a man who could be better at the job than Carmen Best or the other women who applied? Just what if? But no, they're all disqualified because of their gender. I don't even know how that's legal for the next mayor of New York to say. But they are talking about, in the Daily News, it says Carmen Best, the former Seattle police chief, along with Philadelphia's police commissioner Danielle Outlaw and former U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch, are believed to be the non-NYPD candidates under consideration. But in New York City, they've already decided that they're only going to consider half of the available applicant pool that's out there to solve all of their problems. And next up in the Fastest 15, question, you probably know this better than me, Nicole, because you probably shop outside the home. Oh, you do a lot of Amazon stuff, too. When you go out to a retail store, does anybody ever check your credit card to see that it's you?
No.
Have you signed? Do you have your signature on the back of your card?
I do, but you don't have to hand it to them ever. Everything's, you know, on a keypad thing, on the thing. Yeah. So you don't have to ever hand it to them.
I can't believe this story and what a local store did. So a couple of days ago, there was a car prowl in Shoreline. Husband and wife, they parked at Saltwater Park. They were just going to enjoy nature, and they were gone from their car for about 90 minutes. And again, I don't like to blame the victims, but what are you doing leaving anything of value in a car when it's like my bicycle at the Coliseum thing, where there's a 99% chance the bicycle will get stolen? Well, sadly, because our politicians and our voters have allowed this place to just descend into a dystopian nightmare, why would somebody leave valuables in the car? I know it's blaming the victim, and you should be able to leave stuff in your car, but you can't around here. So it was 5:30 in the afternoon. They come back to their car. Of course, somebody had smashed a window, grabbed everything they could, or they punched out a lock, didn't smash a window. And the couple's credit cards were missing. So 30 minutes later, the woman gets an alert from her credit card company asking if she was making a large purchase at a Seattle department store. And she said no, but the purchase had already gone through. Some guy, and according to Cairo 7, deputies say the video showed the suspect as possibly being mixed race. He's wearing a long-sleeve T-shirt, gray pants, and tennis shoes. So he walks into some department store, and he buys $10,600 worth of Louis Vuitton handbags.
Oh, well, that's only like one handbag.
It's like four, right? It's probably four. $2,500
Depends on the bag.
But how do they not check it? And, you know, the guy's got a mask on. I'm looking at the surveillance video. But he's a young guy, got a baseball cap, a mask, and all of a sudden, this guy's buying $10,600 worth of Louis Vuitton bags. Okay, here you go, sir. And the transaction goes through. Now, I'm sure the credit card company will have to reverse it. But how do they not check and say, hey, we sign this little piece of paper so we can make sure your signature matches the one on the back of the card? Is there no security in a city where there's this many, you know, car prowls and home burglaries?
Especially not with the tap feature. It goes through even quicker, and you actually just tap it. It's crazy. You know what people forget? I think this is a lot of people. They put their purses under a seat or in the back or try to hide it, but they do it at their parking spot and just know they're watching you. I know so many people who they've watched them hide their bag, and then they break in right after they walk away.
And then my real question is, why did this guy need four Louis Vuitton bags? Do you think he has that many different outfits for when he goes out to the theater? And that is...
I think he's just got that many different ladies.
Oh, good point. Smart guy.
That could be. I don't understand any of it. That is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Julie, do you want the bag I stole for you, or do you want the bag I stole for Santa? Take your pick. You're my favorite. Giving you first choice. Okay, Dave Wyman's going to drop by for his weekly visit coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Big Country.
Yes, Dory. That was almost a gimme. Right, Dave? Dave Wyman?
I was thinking of the other Australian band, The Outfield.
Oh, yeah.
That was last week.
My Love.
No, it wasn't.
I think it's called
that
song.
It was?
Men at Work. That's what I was going to say.
Oh,
you're
okay.
Just saying things, Dave, now.
I'm just quoting Australian drawing out Australian bands.
This is the song Big Country from their album Big Country by the band Big Country.
Big Country, yeah.
That's what I also love about Bad Company. Their album is called Bad Company. They're called Bad Company. They have a song called Bad Company.
That's what I love about Talk Talk. Song, album, band name. Are you bored yet, Dave?
Talk Talk? What's Talk Talk?
Do you remember Talk Talk?
No.
So, hey, would you get Talk Talk ready to go, Sean?
Sure, I'll get Talk Talk ready for Talk Talk Radio.
You're like me. You're an early 80s MTV guy.
Yeah.
All you want to do to me is Talk Talk. You don't remember that one?
No.
Talk Talk, Talk Talk. All you want to do to me is talk.
Oh, yeah, your version's...
Much more beautiful.
Not very good, but yeah, I think I got the gist of it there.
Yeah. From the album Talk Talk by the band Talk Talk. Mm-hmm. We'll play it midway through the segment so it doesn't confuse anybody in the official scoring of Name That Artist. How are you? What's going on?
Just trying to explain a loss by the Seahawks. Kind of excited about the Mariners still. And yeah, they're making it interesting.
I just checked this morning because I'd fallen completely out of touch with the Mariners. They're only three games out of a playoff spot once again.
I gotta say, man, like, this guy Tyler Anderson had a really good outing, and his ERA right now, since he's become a Mariner, they traded for him. I mean, Tyler Anderson, who's heard of him?
And I've never,
you know,
heard of him.
Yeah, and he pitched a gem last night, and then, you know, they're just getting so much out of some of these trades, like Abraham Toro. He's the one that hit the grand slam against Houston, and, you know, it was the time when I thought Jerry DePoto should have gone out to the middle of the diamond and extended his middle fingers and just spun around on second base, because everybody was all over him about trading Kendall Graveman for Abraham Toro, mm-hmm, and another pitcher named Joe Smith. But still, it was just, he's hit on things. And, you know, some of these, like, the young guys are developing, and, you know, they've had some surprises, like Ty France playing first base really well. So, yeah, it's been really, it wasn't even supposed to be a game or a team that was going to be a winning, you know, have a winning record this year.
You know, let me ask you, Brock made a point last week on this show, and he said the one shame is he thinks that, like, with the mask and you got to prove the vax and all that, he thought, you know, this time of year in a playoff race, that there should be 40,000 people at every game, and instead there's like 17,000, 18,000. Do you think the mandates are keeping the crowds down?
Yeah, I wonder that too. I really don't. I really can't tell. I mean, I was looking at the Seahawk game, and yeah, and I don't know what, if you've had people text in or what their experience was. I had some poor kid, looked like he was 22, 23 years old, ask me for my vax card. And then I was
Excuse me, sir, can I see your vax card?
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm tier two, so I'm already, you know, checked out and everything. And he's like, well, I think. And then the lady who was screening the bags was like, yeah, he's cool, I know him. And then I finally found the picture and showed it to him, and he just barely looked at it. So I don't know how they're handling that. I don't know. Are they turning people away?
Nobody was wearing a mask, and I don't care. I don't care if they're all vaxxed. I don't know why you have to wear a mask on top of it. But what about the gays? What is your evaluation? Because that's a bad loss there at home versus the team you should be.
Yeah, you know, I was just did a little football 101 thing, and it just brings to mind that I'll say this. I don't know that it was that bad of a loss, just because I really respect the Tennessee Titans coming in here off of a loss. And, you know, the saying in the NFL is that if you can do right longer, you know, longer than the other team, and that's what they did. They just kept wearing him down with Derrick Henry. I mean, he didn't, you know, I think he was averaging 2.7 yards in the first half, and then the second half it was like 6 or 7, and he ended up getting well over 100 yards, and they just pounded him, and they were just physical. And it kind of brings back to everybody, like, you can have as many superstars as you want on your team, but if you go up to the line of scrimmage and punch the other team in the mouth play after play after play, you're probably going to lose. And that's what happened. They have like superstars in my mind on offense. I mean, Tannehill I include. He's really a good quarterback.
He's really good.
AJ Brown, Julio Jones, Derrick Henry, and, you know, but they came in banged up and a lot of new guys on defense, and they just took it to the Seahawks. It was a wake up call.
Yes, it was. All right, before we get to the competition song, do you have a little talk talk just to remind Dave?
Sure. Anxiety was bringing with the
You remember this one, Dave?
Yeah, vaguely. Yeah, was this one of the early MTV videos?
Yep.
Remember Money for Nothing?
Oh, that was, yeah.
Yeah, that remember that video with the little cartoon guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, that was just bonus music there. Do you have a competition song for us now, Sean?
I sure do, Dory. Yeah, let me get that ready for you in about
demanding.
10 seconds.
Oh, 10 seconds.
Very demanding, Dory,
fill
today.
10 seconds.
Well, now there's only 5 seconds.
But Dave and I aren't professional enough to even fill 5 seconds.
I'm amazed you admitted that on the air.
Did that take 5 seconds?
Yep. Let me get this music video here.
Oh, Cyndi Lauper.
Oh, no.
No, it's
the blonde gal.
Yeah,
Blondie.
Well, it's Gwen Stefani, but her band is No Doubt.
No Doubt it is. Who also, they have a cover of Talk Talk's It's My Life. You're welcome, everybody.
That's just all bonus material from Sean Dottori there. Okay, you know, she married that country guy, Dave.
I think the only people, she did. The only person that people like listening to during this part is Sean.
Yeah, especially my mom and dad. Thanks, mom and dad.
We'll continue the conversation with Dave Wyman and Sean Dottori as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Don't speak. I know what you're thinking. I don't need your reason. Don't tell me.
Sting.
Sting. Wow. That was even before he started singing.
Yeah.
That was impressive, Dave.
Real good.
Because Dory likes the Police and I like Sting.
Yeah, we've had many conversations about that.
You know, I'm coming around on Billy Joel with you.
I know. You've mentioned that many times.
Yeah.
Tell you what, some night, come over to the house, we'll sit, and I'll take you through the entire catalog.
That's okay. I'm not that into Billy Joel.
It'll be worth it, Dave.
He screwed up with Christie Brinkley. Come on.
No, we don't. She's been married like 4 times. How do we know it was his fault?
Are you sure about that?
Well, I mean, if you've been married 4 times, the chances are you might have some culpability in every divorce.
We had a neighbor one time that was like just a piece of work. And, you know, and so she was like, I remember saying, yeah, this is actually my 4th marriage. And I was like, there's 4 men that want to marry you. I didn't say that to her.
No, I'm sure you didn't. But you thought it.
I did think it.
Last night, you know, there were rumors years ago that the New England Patriots would bug. Mm-hmm. What was the rumor? That they would bug the opponent's locker room?
Well, there's all kinds of things around that surround the Patriots.
Yeah.
Of, you know, supposedly at their practices before Super Bowl 49, they were running that play that they picked off. Their scout team was running that play.
Right.
So that's pretty weird.
And that one was one they had illegally taped, right?
Well, that was a different thing. I think that they were down on the field taping. So, yeah, again, there's all of these different incidents. Like, you know, like, and then everybody's like, oh, with Brady and the inflation. I mean, I guess, you know, of the ball, I guess that, you know, that technically, the fact that they were trying to hide it is, you know, to me, whether the ball is underinflated or not, it doesn't make any difference to anybody. Even, like, I remember asking Warren Moon, and he's like, you could not tell the difference between the two inflation rates or whatever it was at, you know, the PSI of the football.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback, so I'll take his word for it, then Joe Blow, who's texting into the show. But anyway, yeah, I think that they've always just been around, like, they're part of something that's kind of fishy that's going on.
Yeah, which is so odd because when you are already better than everybody else, you don't need to do stuff like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, I thought this was very funny. Peyton Manning is, you know, one of the top 3 quarterbacks in history. 3, 5, I don't know where you put him. But he's also he's got a great mind and wit. And
it's hilarious.
He was doing Monday Night Football, and he was talking about making a joke about how the Patriots would bug their locker room.
I think our conversation was bug, you know, kind of like the Patriots used to do back in the day. That second Super Bowl in Indianapolis, and they practiced at your facility all week. Were you a little nervous going back in your facility the next year that they didn't have, like, cameras in your quarterback room?
Every time I played against New England, I used to go and talk to my receivers, like, in the shower in the far corner. I'm like, don't talk about a play next to my locker because I know it's bugged. I know it's got a hot mic in there. We're in the shower. Very strange to see seven guys hanging out back there in the shower. But take all precautions out there. Oh.
It's like the Sopranos when Tony would always have conversations in the basement under the air duct. Yeah.
He's hilarious. I don't know if you've seen, there's a special, I'm not sure what channel it's on, it's called Peyton Places, and he goes around and does like a history of the NFL.
Yeah.
Talks to different guys. He has just a natural timing, that, and he's not really trying to be funny.
Right.
And then, do you remember Eli being on Saturday Night Live?
I do.
Eli actually was pretty good.
Yes.
He actually was good, because I know Peyton was on it too. But
yeah.
Yeah, Eli, you know, he's always got that kind of goofy look, and, you know, he looks like the little brother, you know, right. And they give each other a hard time.
As great as he was as a quarterback, and then to be as good as he is in postseason stuff, that's pretty impressive. Okay, one more I have for you, audio. Seahawks playing the Vikings this weekend. Did you hear the call of the end of their game?
I did.
Sunday?
That's our buddy Paul Allen, right?
Paul Allen, yeah. And Vikings, if they make this field goal, they win the game. If they miss it, they lose.
High snap, put down. Joseph, come on! It is gone! No,
he missed it.
Are you kidding me? He missed it right.
He missed it right.
Just driving in the car. And hanging on the game.
I was saying yesterday, they should have just
Pet
ran
Shop Boys.
With it.
Wow, Dory.
Pet Shop Boys. Nice
job.
No, they should have just gone with it and said, all right, well, we'll see you next Sunday. Vikings get a win. That would have been fantastic.
Did you ever meet Ken Levine, who did Mariners play-by-play back in the 80s, I think it was?
Mm-mm.
He was a really interesting guy. He was a writer for MASH. And other TV shows, and then he just decided he wanted to be a play-by-play guy, so he went to the minor leagues, and then the Mariners hired him. But he wrote a book, and the title of the book was, It's Gone! No, wait a minute!
That's great.
It's a really good book,
well,
too.
He's probably calling it from a television back home in Minnesota.
Yeah.
You know, I guarantee you that. That's what's
right.
going on there. So,
all right, brother. Thanks
man.
For stopping by. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for whooping my tail.
Anytime.
And, did I even get one, Sean?
Yeah, it was 3-1. Yeah,
I got the
I don't remember.
Sting.
Sting.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Dory won.
All right. Talk to you next week.
You can listen to Dave every afternoon, 710 ESPN Seattle. Big Lead at 2 is next.